Hi, I'm Daryl Fairweather, the author of Hate the Game, Economic Cheat Codes for Life, Love, and Work. I'm the chief economist at Redfin, where I help renters, home buyers, and home sellers navigate the decision of where to live and how to pay for it. Deciding what home to live in is both a deeply personal decision and an economic one, which can make anyone anxious. I believe that understanding economics, specifically game theory and behavioral economics, can help most anyone feel less anxious and more confident about life's most important questions. Questions like, should I buy or rent? Do I ask for a promotion? Should I tell people I'm pregnant? What salary do I deserve? Should I just quit this job? Today, I'm excited to share with you five key insights from my book that can help you confidently answer these questions and many other key life questions. Insight 1. The economy is an unfair game, but you can still win. When I began my career, I had no idea how to get from where I was, an entry-level worker, to where I wanted to be, an accomplished career woman. There was no manual to consult and no set of rules to follow. I had to figure it out on my own with no guarantee that hard work would translate to success. But I had my knowledge of economics and game theory. At the University of Chicago, I learned from my PhD advisor, Stephen Levitt, that economics is useful in all sorts of unexpected places, and I hoped it would be useful in navigating my career. After a few false starts pursuing and quickly abandoning various career paths in academia and the private sector, I found myself wondering, why do some people seem to win so easily while others struggle? I was prepared for my race and my gender to put me at a disadvantage, but I knew those disadvantages could be overcome. My grandmother, Norma Sclerick, was the first Black woman to be a licensed architect in New York, and then she was the first again in California. And this was before Black people had civil rights or women had employment protections. If she could find success, I knew there must be a way that I could too. But that knowledge wasn't enough. I needed a strategy. Then I realized the economy is a game, one with winners and losers. And like any game, success isn't only about hard work. It's also about understanding the system and playing it to your advantage. And the economy isn't fair. The game is, in fact, rigged. Our economy favors those who already have wealth, connections, and access to information. But that doesn't mean you can't win. The key is understanding how incentives work, how markets function, and how people make decisions. If you know the rules of the game, you know what the cheat codes are. Insight 2. You can win by making strategic choices based on economics. Economics and game theory provide the cheat codes, ways for you to predict outcomes, optimize decisions, and gain agency within an unfair system. Why economics? Because economic thinking comprises the tools to tease out causality from correlation, cause and effect from mere coincidence, and to discern a lucky circumstance from a career decision that mattered. Early in my career, I was disappointed by books that claimed to hold the secrets to success, because the authors didn't seem to understand the economic circumstances that led to their successes. And if they didn't understand that, how could they possibly understand my circumstances and what would help me achieve my specific goals? In behavioral economics and statistics, there is a concept called survivorship bias, which is the tendency to focus on successful outcomes or winners in a particular field while ignoring or dismissing those that did not make it through a selection process. This bias can cause a skewed perception of what factors lead to success. I am not immune to survivorship bias either. Had I not succeeded in my career, I wouldn't be in a position to write this book. There are systemic reasons why you don't see many books on economics authored by Black women doctorates. I am an outlier, and recognizing that, I can look for an understanding of how that happened, how I happened. That exercise set against the innumerable things economics can tell us about the world produces lessons for anyone, regardless of their economic or social circumstances. Understanding economics is incredibly useful when navigating life's biggest turning points, such as choosing a career, applying for a job, earning a job offer, negotiating salary, deciding whether to quit a job, understanding how family choices impact career choices, buying or renting a home, deciding where to live, and deciding how to spend both time and money. Insight 3. Winning in life, love, and work is about being a good negotiator. Learning when and how to negotiate is one of the most difficult and consequential challenges in life. Early in my career, I asked my boss for a raise and got rejected. That was brutal. But many years later, after honing my negotiating powers, I successfully negotiated the salary I deserved. Negotiating skills are critical in life because everything is a negotiation. Your salary, your relationships, your job opportunities, they all depend on your leverage. The main thing to know when negotiating is that power comes from having better options. The party most willing to walk away holds the upper hand. This applies everywhere. In the housing market, when there are more homes for sale than buyers, buyers have better options and can negotiate lower prices. Conversely, when buyers outnumber sellers, sellers have many offers to select from and can pick the best one with the highest offer price. In dating, the partner who is least afraid of breaking up because they don't mind being single or they are confident about finding a new partner will have more leverage. They will usually have more power in relationship negotiations about what constitutes cheating or whose career is prioritized. However, romantic relationships, like all long-term relationships, are worsened by constant tit-for-tats and ultimatums. In the workplace, when an employer thinks an employee is replaceable, the employee will have little to no leverage to negotiate salary or workplace conditions. But if the employee has a rare skill set and competing job offers, they can negotiate higher pay and better conditions. When you understand what your options are relative to your employer, your romantic partner, or any other negotiating partner, you can determine whether you have the power to get a better deal. And if you assess that you don't have enough negotiating power, you can choose to focus on improving your options so you can get a better deal in the future. Insight 4, knowledge is the ultimate advantage. In any game, the player with more information has the upper hand. This concept, asymmetric information, explains why first-time car buyers get scammed, why employers keep salary data secret, and why successful people always seem one step ahead. For example, when buying a home, the first-time buyer who knows nothing about the housing market will be at a disadvantage compared to the experienced home seller who knows exactly how much each home in the neighborhood is worth. For the buyer, this disadvantage is tricky. To overcome it, they must figure out what the seller might know and whether the seller might be hiding information. They must imagine the world through their negotiating opponent's eyes. Consider the classic scenario of buying a used car from a dealership. The buyer may know little about cars, only that they need one, while the seller, who negotiates deals daily, has deep expertise in car values, their inventory, and each vehicle's condition. Economist George Akerlof won a Nobel Prize for showing how this knowledge gap allows sellers to push low-quality cars while keeping high-quality ones out of reach to ignorant buyers. The same happens in job markets, real estate, and even personal relationships. If one side holds all the information, the other is at a disadvantage. So how do you counter this? The next time you are negotiating, try to see things from your opponent's perspective. Take an educated guess about what information they have that you don't, and try to predict what moves they will make. Identify your opponent's objective. Don't go into a negotiation without understanding what your opponent actually wants. Identify whether your opponent is lying to you or withholding information. Your opponent might mislead you about their objective, so don't take what they say at face value. Instead, consider whether your opponent benefits from misleading you and be skeptical. If you are worried your car dealer is trying to sell you a lemon, have a trusted expert inspect the car on your behalf. If you fear your employer is misleading you about opportunities for raises or promotions, ask other current and former employees their opinion. Realize that there is a limit to your knowledge. It's impossible to know everything. So at a certain point, you must take a risk and make your move. An educated guess is better than a blind guess. Insight 5. Every player can and must decide for themselves what games are worth playing. Not all games are worth playing. Some games are about fun, some about learning, and some about winning the prize. The key is knowing which reasons for playing matter to you. Some games are worth playing because they are enjoyable. For example, the point of playing the Hokey Pokey is to have fun. There are rules to the Hokey Pokey, but there are no winners. No trophy is awarded to the person who best follows along with the musical instructions. Having fun is the only reward. Some games are worth playing for the lessons they teach along the way. Playing chess can turn you into a better chess player, and practicing negotiating can make you a better negotiator. Player abilities aren't fixed. Through learning, whether in the classroom, on the job, or in games, people can develop skills that transform their abilities. The fact that experience alters skills makes choosing what game to play more complicated. The outcome isn't just win or lose, it's often win or lose, and either way, learn something along the way. How much you learn and how that might increase your odds of winning future games should be considered when choosing what game to play. And then, of course, some games are worth playing because of the prize. For example, a lottery game is worth playing for the jackpot. Similarly, an employee trying to win a promotion is motivated by the prize of a better title or a pay increase. Winning a job offer, a raise, or a promotion are all examples of external prizes. External prizes are determined and awarded by entities other than yourself. However, there are many games where the prize is determined internally. Spending or saving money in a way that brings you meaning is an internal prize. Some games are objectively worse than others. Not all games allow you to improve over time. A gambler at a roulette table doesn't get better at winning, the odds always stay the same. And some games are designed to keep you playing even when you're losing. Bad relationships, dead-end jobs, or exploitative industries thrive on keeping players trapped. The key is knowing what you personally value. If a game isn't serving you, if it's unwinnable or pointless, it's time to walk away and invest in a better one. Because in the long run, the games you choose within the economy determine the life you live. I hope these insights from my book, Hate the Game, help you develop strategies to successfully navigate the complexities of career and life. Remember, the rules of the economy may be unfair, but with the right approach, you can still find your path to the top. Thanks for listening.